are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Ooh, all right, let's get into it. Healing without forgiving. This is what we're talking about in today's session. In our deep dive, we're speaking about finding hope and healing after loss, all right? Now, healing does not mean erasing. It means learning to live again with the memory and not without it. There's a lie healing equals moving on, or that if you laugh again, you've forgotten. But the truth is, healing honors the memory and also makes space for new joy, so you don't have to choose between remembering and living. So how exactly do we do that? How do we exist in both spaces, holding on to the beauty of the memories and also living our lives, going on with the life that we have now, right? We have Pastor Cliff Chinyama joining us once again. My Pastor, good morning. Welcome back to the program.
So much, my moderator. Good morning to you.
Thanks for joining us again for another session on this difficult subject about finding hope and healing after loss. And this is an interesting one. I was talking earlier about, I think it was a movie. I still can't remember where this memory comes from, where a child feels like he's betraying his mother because he has started to forget how she smelled. That was kind of his last thing. And now that he's starting to forget her smell, he feels like he's betraying her. And so that's the memory that came to my mind as I thought about this conversation that we're going to be having today. Now, with that in mind, Pastor, as from pain, can healing include both tears and laughter at the same time? Can you laugh and enjoy your life while you're still grieving?
Okay, a beautiful thought there. Can we be able to have tears and laughter? Now, you know, when we look at tears, there are two kinds of tears. Mm-hmm. In Leviticus, describes two kinds of tears, if we are to zoom in closely. There are tears of pain, in which we have been grieved by loss of property, loss of life, loss of something dear. But then there are also tears of joy. These come because you are too happy. You know, there are people, I think most of us, there are sometimes you are just too happy, you didn't expect something,
yeah.
And then you just receive this promotion. And so what we are saying is healing at times includes both tears and laughter, because the laughter will come to be able to wipe away the tears of grief. Remember the story of the brother Joseph. Joseph, when he wanted now to disclose to his brothers that it is him, because he had changed, he had grown, time had passed by. Mm-hmm. He first, on two instances, he wanted to speak, but then he couldn't. So he went out, removed his gear, cried, wiped his tears, came back. But mm-hmm. then when he opened up to the brothers to say it's him, scripture tells us that he broke down. So those tears were coupled with pain. But then that pain was filled with forgiveness, and then there was laughter at the end. And from there, he did not trouble them again. So healing, yes, can include both tears of pain and laughter at the same time. And that is okay.
Beautiful. I love that. Now, what does it mean to carry someone with you without being weighed down? How do you hold on to those memories without being weighed down by the pain of the loss?
Okay. Here, the bottom line is accept what happened. Maybe. Okay. Am I still audible?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. So it implies the key word here for us to be able to carry on with someone without being weighed down is to be able to accept them as they are. Maybe they are the ones that caused this particular pain, this grief, by running down, you know, somebody close to us. Mm-hmm. We can carry along with them without saying, no, I want the same to happen to you. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was just a mistake. Okay. So we just have to accept them, yeah, as they are, with their flaws. Each one has their own size of flaws. Sometimes some people think they have no flaws. They think they are smart,
yeah,
because their flaws seem to be small and other flaws or mistakes seem to be big. So all we have to do to be able to carry someone with us without being weighed down is to accept what they did, and if at all it was them who was causative, then we will still heal if we want to. Because if we don't want to, we will not be able to carry that person or that particular individual with us. But for us to be able to carry, you know, someone without being weighed down is simply, again, as I repeat, to accept them and accept that it was just a mistake and all shall be well.
You just mentioned something there, Pastor, that I just want to divert a little bit to. You said, if they want to be healed, if you want to be healed, what does my willingness and my desire to be healed, how heavily does that weigh on the healing process? Is it possible for me to heal involuntarily? Is that something that just happens with the passage of time? Or do I have any kind of involvement? I have to want to do it. I have to want the healing.
Okay. How do we do the healing? The healing, yeah. So on the spot of wanting to is actually, again, drawing us back to being able to accept. You see, there are some people that don't just accept that this particular store that they once ran and they were making money, gutted, and they lost property. They will just change their life. And every day they'll just be unhappy, maybe with the security guard who forgot to switch off the alarm that sparked the fire. So they will eventually get to a point where they will not choose. But if they accept to say they get into, you know, healing only comes when you step into reality. You know, I have a broken leg, I have a wound. Okay, the doctor will come, they'll do some suturing there. Mm-hmm. And now you accept, okay, I have this wound. Let me take care of this wound. So you taking care of the wound and not neglecting the wound is accepting that you have a wound. Mm-hmm. And because you've been wounded once, you will not be wounded twice. The next thing from there now is healing. So it's not about really voluntary or not, but it's a state of mind where you accept, okay, I've been broken in this way. But all I need to do now is accept everyone. No one is wrong. No pointing fingers. But all I have to do is now live with the healing. The scar is there. A scar is a sign that you were wounded. But now you are well.
Oh, I like that. Now, how can we create... I don't like to use the word ritual. I'm just following this word because my presenter put it there. But I know that my Adventist brothers and sisters are saying, rituals, what are you talking about? But... How do we create these practices of remembrance or rituals of remembrance that bring comfort instead of pain? And how do we do that in a way that will not ruffle the feathers of our brethren?
Okay, yeah, the word rituals, I looked at it and I realized, hey, okay, no, we forgive the team for now. Yeah, so rituals, I've used the word tradition instead of rituals.
Let's go with tradition again.
So how can we create, you know, tradition that can bring comfort? Yeah. So by practicing the kind of tradition that is in accordance both with culture and with God, you know, after loss or after something that is bad that has happened to someone, after that, many times, especially in the African culture, men or women are subjected to uttermost, you know, tradition that is not really acceptable. Mm-hmm. Before the Lord, and practically that's simply due to lack of knowledge. But now to a Christian, like someone listening here, you know, someone who has an idea of the word of God and a God who is in the heaven, not a God on earth or idols, you know, we can be able to create traditions of a remembrance by practicing those things that we'll be able to be in line with God. Like, for example, maybe one example, if a woman has died, a man has died, and then the woman has been left widowed, there is no need of taking that as poor woman and then taking her in between a tributary or a point where the rivers cross, and then let her be naked there, then bath, and then she walks out in reverse, and then that's all nonsense and just, you know, troubling oneself. But when this woman has been widowed, you know, and she was a Christian. The thing there is just to offer prayers. When all is said and done, it's just prayers that have to be offered. Let her accept that there is death in this world. Even as she will die, it's just the other person who's died early, you know. And then by so doing, maybe there will just be some form of remembrance celebration. Mm-hmm. There's just a celebration to just make her feel that everyone else is here. You are not alone. Look, you have your children, you have friends, you have workmates. Then all those, you know, traditional practices will be well. No one should say no, but she's already enjoying herself. but she's just from grieving. How yeah. can she heal? So yeah. yeah, so we just have to practice those traditions, those things that are in accordance with man. It's okay with culture and okay with God, just mm-hmm. like Peter did in the early church.
Yeah, I think that's okay. what I yeah. want to remember when you talk about, you know, people almost giving you a time limit before you can smile again when you've lost it. Mm. At this point, it's too early. You can't be
exactly.
enjoying your life and just getting on with it. But we don't, you know, the healing process is mm-hmm. different for different people. Just because you see someone laughing or smiling does not mean that everything is okay. It doesn't mean that they don't care or they don't remember the person that they lost. You know, that the memory will still be there. But, you know, this is why we're trying to figure out how you find that balance of, you know, moving yeah. on as well as honoring the memory. And what is the difference between honoring the past and then being trapped in the past?
Okay. That's a good one there. Honoring the past is simply looking back at it and then saying within oneself to say, well, I have been victorious. I made it, you know, because the Lord was with me Amen. Through that loss, that Amen. Moment of pain. But while being trapped is staying stuck in the past, even when you've already crossed over, staying stuck yeah. to the past and, you know, eventually failing to move on, that is being trapped. And so all we have to do is remember the pain we went through, mm-hmm. you know, and then realize, enjoy, be filled with joy in our hearts and know that the Lord has surely seen us through up mm-hmm. to this moment. Like the word Ebenezer, this far the Lord has, you know, saved us.
Mm. I like that. And I think it's so important to honor that and to celebrate your survival. It's not about celebrating the loss. You're not happy that a loss occurred, but I made it. I survived it. I'm still here. I'm still standing. And I think one of the things to celebrate is if you're still able to come to God, whether that is with tears in your eyes or whether that is in celebration or whether that's in anger even, if you are still able to recognize that there is a God, I think that's a win in itself.
Absolutely.
And how does God give you permission to heal without any guilt? How do we do that? How does God's involvement in our healing process give us the permission to heal without feeling guilty about healing?
Okay. I looked at this one and I had to digest it. You know, you will not get the answers from the Bible as such, but philosophically, since we are talking about healing here and we are talking about God and we are looking at the word guilt, so we have to realize that whatever wrong, whatever pain that we suffered, whatever loss, we have to get to a point to realize that it is not us who did not do something else. We lost this particular, you know, personal, we lost this business, we lost this life.
Yeah.
We are supposed to release ourselves, get to a point where you release yourself and realize to say, no, it's not my fault. In fact, I was also in this tragedy, but it just happened the way it happened. Then by so doing, if we release ourselves from any guilt of being causative to pain, grief, or loss, then we automatically give God the permission to enable us to heal. Mm-hmm. And when he heals us, we will be healed indeed. Just like when he sets us free, we are free indeed.
Amen. Beautiful. I think we can leave it there for today. Thank you so much for your time. Any final thoughts that you'd like to share before we say goodbye on this particular aspect of the subject?
Okay. I think I love the scripture, Psalm 121, which reminds us of where our help comes from. Help there is healing in some versions.
Okay.
So we have to look to the hills and realize when we are grieved, when we are in pain, when we are at loss, that our healing only comes from the mountain. And the figurative for mountain there is Christ himself. He is the ever-living God. So look up to God through your pain. Look up to God through your grief, your loss, and all shall be well. One day we'll get to a place where there is no more talking about losses or pain.
Amen. Amen. I look forward to that day. Thank you so much, Pastor. God bless you. We'll connect again tomorrow, same times and same place.
Be blessed. Thank you.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.